Good morning, everyone. The sound boomy. Well, the core of the gospel is in the first four verses of Psalm 30. We have a foe, and I don't mean the Chaldeans or the Canaanites or the Romans, I mean the devil himself. He is our foe. He is the one that deceived Adam and Eve. He is the one that got them to rebel. He is the one that trapped us out of fellowship with our God and our Father in rebellion against him. Are you in rebellion against God here today? I was. As a student, I hated God. I didn't want him in my life. But I blessed Almighty God that he didn't listen to me, but showed me that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. We are caught as prisoners in chains, chains because of our sin. The Lord Jesus himself has set us free from our lostness and hopelessness. People on the street, as we approach them, they don't know that they're lost. They do not know that they are without hope. Isn't that truly sad? Isn't that truly sad? They will say, oh, no, I don't need you. I don't need Christ. They do not know that the Lord of glory died for the sins of the world as a result of our rebellion. We are fallen, but we are also broken. Which of us doesn't limp in some way? Doesn't have some weakness? Not, I don't mean necessarily physical, but mentally. We don't have a good view of ourselves. Spiritually, we are lost. We think we are worthless. Do you feel lost and broken? Do you? Come to me, the Lord Jesus said, and I will give you rest. Rest to your soul. In Isaiah and echoed in Luke 4, 18 and 19, Isaiah 61, it talks about healing the brokenhearted, setting the prisoner free, opening the prison door when we cry out to God. Because that's where we are. We are held by our sin in rebellion against God, in the deepest darkness, behind the prison doors. But Jesus has come to set us free. He wants to heal us physically, but mostly spiritually. He wants to bring us out of the grave and away from the fires of God's wrath, away from hell itself, from the pit. And he does so willingly. He does so willingly. And God sent his Son willingly in love, not to condemn us, but through Christ we might be saved. And it's been done. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm saved here today, and many of you are too. We've come to that point where we've asked the Lord Jesus to forgive us and to come into our lives. It's something that's been done. This is the yearning of God's heart, that we would be saved. We feel afraid of God, and rightly so, that he might condemn us. But he's actually more willing to forgive than to condemn. He sent his Son to die in our place, to take our punishment and to rise from the dead. And so we remember his holiness. We remember he has saved us from our wickedness and our sin and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We give thanks. Hallelujah. Amen. You're sitting down. You're not up in the aisles. Yay, we are forgiven. Praise God. So how does this then relate to Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road? Bear with me, and I hope that we will see together. I'm just going to give a little summary of the book of Acts to bring us to where Paul is on the road to Damascus. We've remembered at Easter time the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Bless his holy name. The greatest and most powerful event in all time and eternity, the biggest victory that ever was or ever will be. Nothing compares with Jesus raising from the dead, having borne our sin in his own body, having borne the wrath of God. You remember there was darkness over the land for 3 hours. That was from midday to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. When is it ever dark at that time of day unless there's a thunderstorm? God was showing us that he had punished the Lord Jesus Christ for us. We've had the day of Pentecost. We've had the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We've had thousands of people coming to realize their need to repent and to believe and to ask the Lord Jesus to forgive them and to come into their life, to own him as their Savior and Lord. We've had the domestic difficulties, blessed difficulties, of too many people in the church to be fed and housed. We've had the generosity of people like Barnabas, who sold houses and land so that their brothers and sisters could be fed and housed. We've had the creation of 7 deacons, and Stephen was among them, to help administer to the poor folk that needed to be fed. We've seen that the Holy Spirit was strong in Stephen's life. He was not just a good deacon, but he was also a good evangelist and witness. And we have seen the stoning of dear Stephen and the cloaks of those who stoned him to death laid at the feet of Saul of Tarsus. And now this very same Saul who's been persecuting believers, people of the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. People of that way, people of Jesus' way, people of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's been persecuting, he's been making them swear and curse and blaspheme. He's been putting them into prison. He's been beating them. He's been killing them. This Saul, breathing out wrath and anger, has got letters from the high priests in Jerusalem. He's got permission to go to other towns and cities, and he's particularly now on the way to Damascus to bring Christians in chains back to Jerusalem to be punished. In this country, we may be ridiculed for being Christians. We may be thought to be stupid and a bit backward and rather prudish. But our brothers and sisters around the world are suffering great ignominy. Even just 2 weeks ago in Sri Lanka, 3 churches were blown up because they were Christian churches. Men and women are losing their jobs. Their daughters are kidnapped and abducted, raped and forced to become part of another religion. Their houses and their churches are burnt. Our brothers and sisters are being beaten and killed. Are we praying for them? Are we praying for them enough? Are we giving towards to help our persecuted brothers and sisters? I'm just posing a question. If we are, we are. But if we could do more, let's do it. Some people say that they would become Christian if they had a Damascus Road experience. If only Jesus would appear to me. Please, I want to humbly warn you. You dare not come to the throne of judgment and say to God, "You didn't appear to me." You dare not. The Lord Jesus is appearing to some people around the world, to Muslims particularly. Ramadan starts tomorrow. Pray for God to appear in visions and dreams over this next month particularly, as well as during the Hajj 3 months later. Because they don't have, many of them, access to God's word. And he's appearing to Hindus as well. Places where the Bible is just not there. But if you are expecting the Lord Jesus to appear to you in this country, beware. He probably won't. He probably won't. We'll come on to that. So Saul is marching along. It's nearly midday. Midday, noon, the sun is up there. It is hot and it is bright. But a light brighter than the sun itself overshadows them. They fall to the ground, the people that are with Saul and Saul himself, and a voice speaks to Saul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. When men and women persecute Christians, they are persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember that when Stephen looked into heaven, he saw the Lord Jesus not seated at the right hand of God, but standing up? Jesus cares when his children are persecuted. He stands up for every single one. He stands up. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Does the way that you are going now seem hard? Does it seem wrong? Are you feeling guilty? Are you against God? Saul said, what do you want me to do, Lord? Do you need to ask God that question? What do you want me to do, Lord? Saul was told that he should go into the city and he would be told what to do. And when Saul is recounting this again to King Agrippa, he goes on to say that he was told that he was going to be a witness to the Jews and the Gentiles, to open their eyes, to call them from darkness to light, from Satan's kingdom to the power of God, and that they would receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst those that are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. 26:18. And we hear that the Lord Jesus told him that he was going to suffer much for his name's sake. So the Lord Jesus did appear to Saul on the Damascus Road. I'm not denying it. Please, I'm not denying it. It's very evident that he did. But the Lord Jesus said to Thomas, who just put his fingers into the hands and into the side, he said to Thomas, blessed are you that have believed, but more blessed are those who have believed and yet they have not seen me. And I'm certainly one of those. I don't claim to see that have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have repented and believed and asked him to forgive me and to come into my life. We should not even dream of chastising the Lord that he didn't appear to us in a dream. We should never, ever dare to think that we will say to him, but you never came to me and appeared to me visibly. For God will very graciously say to you and to me, he will say, didn't you discern my presence in the creation that I've made around you? In the hills and the valleys and the trees and the birds and the people and the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies? Didn't you discern the hand of a creator in all of this? And he will say to you and to me, did you not discern my presence when your conscience was troubled because you'd done wrong? When you felt guilty? When you thought you ought to cry out to me and cry out to me for forgiveness? Did you not have the scriptures? Remember what the Lord Jesus said in his parable about the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man pleaded that Lazarus would go back and tell his brothers. But Abraham said, you have Moses and all the prophets. If you won't believe them, they will not believe it even if a man rises from the dead. It's not the miracles, it's the word of God. Are we doing enough here to make the word of God known in Britain and around the world so that salvation, because salvation comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I'm not saying that the Lord Jesus doesn't appear to people. I've told you that he does. But we have creation. We have conscience. We have the Holy Scriptures. We shouldn't ask that the honour and privilege that the Lord Jesus extends to some should also be our right. You can't do that with God. He is Lord. He is Lord. Lastly, looking at the writings of Paul, we see a man who was joyful and greatly thankful. Here we are coming back to Psalm 30 verse 4. Amen, hallelujah. He blessed God that he was saved. He blessed God that he was saved from his sin and rebellion. That he was adopted, Ephesians 1 verse 3 to 7, that he was adopted as a child, redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you see that word redeemed, remember Ruth. Remember the kinsman redeemer. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ has counted you and me to be his next of kin. He has paid the price for us, his brothers and sisters. We don't see Paul saying, oh, how much I've suffered. Oh, pity me. We see a man full of the Holy Spirit and looking to go to heaven. In a quandary whether it's better for him to live or to die. To die would be much better, but to stay on and to help the believers and the churches is what he decided to you to do. So I ask us my final question. How do we respond to being ridiculed and persecuted as Christians? Even in our country, people are losing their job. If you declare yourself to be a Christian and you want to be a social worker, you're likely not to get the job. Because we Christians are not deemed to be impartial enough. We are judged to be too judgmental. We're not given a chance. We just don't get the job. But let us rejoice. Let us take the persecution as Paul did with thanksgiving. Let us embrace it as James said. And be glad. Glad that our names are written in heaven. Glad that we have great news to tell. Glad that we may rejoice in all that the Lord may do for us. Anything and everything that we do, nothing is in vain. Nothing is in vain. Let us push on with joy and gladness for all that the Lord has for us. And we'll give him the glory for all that he will have done when we get to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.